The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect that of the staff and management of Good Karma Brands, but are the sole responsibility of the host and guests of this particular show.
America may have many, many days, but they will be full of trouble. There will be no rest. There will be no tranquility in this country. Yes, sir. Until a nation comes to terms with our problems.
Bringing you social and political commentary from his mouth to your ears. Breaking down the issues which matter to you.
You are not put here to be a white man's footstool. You are put here to represent the very best in God's word.
Legendary civil rights icon, the Reverend Jesse Jackson in the studio. Reverend Jackson, how are you?
Mr. Reverend, good morning on this chilly Milwaukee morning.
And I am pleased to have one of the founding members of the Black Panther Party, Chairman Bobby Seale. Mr. Chairman, how are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
From Mr. Eric Holder. Mr. Holder, so good to see you. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, man. How you been? It's been a long time. Haven't seen you for a while.
The Dr. Cornell West. Dr. West, how are you, sir?
My dear brother, you're so kind, you're so generous, so man, but I salute you and the work that you were doing there. Doing a magnificent job there in Wisconsin.
Stream live on 1017thetruth.com. Call in with your questions or comments. 833-212-1017. Join us on social media at 1017thetruth. It may not be what you expect to hear, but I will definitely give you what you need to know. Are you ready for the truth?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Sherwin Hughes.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday, August 15th, 2024. And it seems in an incredible reversal of fortune for the Democrats, Kamala Harris and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, are leading Donald Trump and his selected running mate, J.D. Vance, in all five battleground states, and they are currently tied in Georgia. When Joe Biden was top of the ticket, this was not a likely scenario. For a couple of reasons, there was no excitement really around Joe Biden. I think he was going to be dogged by his poor debate performance because that it wasn't going away. You know, once something takes place, right, you have a candidate has a bad day, they say something wrong and they have a bad debate. The internet then takes over and regurgitates those bits and pieces of that bad speech, that bad debate, that gaffe over and over and over again. Then, of course, the opposing campaign will use it against said candidate. So Joe Biden was dogged. And it's very, very tough to get people interested, engaged, and excited when you are voting against Trump. People want something to be for. They want to vote for something. They want something positive. They want something optimistic. And I would say now more than ever, we need it. As Americans report being unhappier than ever, I think this gives very needed motivation. The writing is on the wall that the Democrats are poised to do very well. Now, things can change, but so far, so good. I was shocked by the percentages in which those two Republican written referenda that appeared on your ballot on Tuesday. Oh, by the way, we had the highest election, primary election turnout in a presidential year in 60 years on Tuesday. I think that bodes well. The more people vote, because here's the thing about Republicans, like their numbers of people that vote in elections is fixed. Now, it does go up from a primary election to a general election, but in a general election, because so many more Republicans, people that self-identify as Republicans, vote in every single election. Keeping in mind that as time goes on, Republicans are not registering nearly as many people as Democrats are. So Democrats have that advantage as well, because the agenda of the Democrats, in which I know some of you disagree, the rest of you don't know what the hell it is. Their policy ideas, their personalities, like the people that are running for office as Democrats, is more palatable to new and younger voters. Republicans have a really tough time expanding their base of support, because if you're 20, 5 or something. What in the Republican Party is speaking to you? You may have student debt. The Republicans don't want you to ever have that debt forgiven, literally ever. You might be in the workforce and maybe your employer offers poor health insurance or no health insurance. The Democrats have the Affordable Care Act, which, due to some breaking news, Medicare beneficiaries are now going to see major reductions in what they pay for prescription drugs. Like, this is huge. If you are 25 years old, what in Donald Trump's rhetoric is enticing to you? Are 25-year-olds concerned about the border? Are you 25 years old? You're worried that Maria from El Salvador is going to come here and take your job? Kamala Harris is even a pop culture phenomenon. I'm just waiting on the other shoe to drop for Kamala Harris. And it might. And if this other shoe drops, now the shoe doesn't fit me. It's not my size. But if this particular shoe drops, well, then it's over for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. The next bastion of hope for American politicians, those who are campaigning for public office, are young people. If Taylor Swift endorses Kamala Harris or even mentions her name on stage, well, then it's over. Still don't really understand the appeal when it comes to Taylor Swift. I have compared her to the Panera Bread of musical entertainers. She's just generic. You know, she's just, if it's on the radio, I mean, I guess you listen. If you're hungry, you don't really know where to go, I guess I'll go to Panera. No one is excited to go to Panera Bread. There's no excitement in Panera. It's just, you go and get a sandwich and some soup, right?
I like Panera.
But do you love it?
I don't love it, but it's definitely good quality of, I guess, fast food.
All right. I know if I'm sitting here, because I get hungry about 11 o'clock, 11:30 every single day while I'm broadcasting this show, because I can just feel lunch. I just feel it coming on. I get hungry. I don't ever sit here while I'm on the mic at 11 o'clock, 11:30, an hour or 30 minutes left in my show, and think, damn, I bet they got some good specials at Panera. I sure enough can't wait to get out of here so I can stand in line and get me a Greek salad. But Taylor Swift is very popular with a subset of Americans, like 60+ million young people, that if Taylor Swift put her stamp of approval on Kamala Harris, I think she would perform even better with younger voters. And I think that is what Trump's problem is going to be. He doesn't entice younger voters. And now here's the other reversal of fortune. Donald Trump is now the oldest. How do they say? So he's the oldest person to seek the presidency. Trump currently is older than Ronald Reagan was when Ronald Reagan left office in 1989. Just like that, Joe Biden went from being the old senile one with all the dementias and the Alzheimer's, and now it's Donald Trump. Little known fact, they say that Trump is very worried. He's worried for a number of reasons. He's losing in the polls. I'm going to get to those in a second. Don't put as much stock into the polls. Like, don't say, oh, the election is over because there's some leads in the polls. But I think it's a very good indicator. But what's going to happen today, though, I think is going to really give the American people a full-throated perspective. The Democrats are in the catbird seat right now. Driving this narrative here, Kamala Harris is raising the money. She's got the interest. She's got the enthusiasm. She's got a folksy Midwestern governor who was known for getting things done. He's a military fella. He's a former high school football coach and teacher. That actually bodes well, because look at our governor here in Wisconsin, the Tony Evers. He's a teacher. People like teachers for some reason to lead. Fair enough. We're all used to teachers leading us in one form or another. But with the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act, which, to the dismay of some of you, is actually working. Inflation is now at 2.9%. It hasn't been this low since March of 2021. We are now about to return to pre-pandemic levels of inflation. Thank you, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So with the Inflation Reduction Act, Kamala Harris was the deciding vote, the tie-breaking vote, because, you know, the U.S. Senate is split Democrats and Republicans. So Kamala Harris is the tiebreaker. The vice president is the president of the U.S. Senate. A lot of folks don't know that. You know it now, and you know that because you listen to this show, because all the people that listen to this show are very smart. Now you just got even smarter. So she cast the tie-breaking vote to pass the Inflation Reduction Act. And so now, for the first time in history, Medicare gets to negotiate prescription drug prices for seniors that are enrolled in Medicare. But because of the ability to negotiate prescription drug prices for the first time ever in history, all of your health care insurance premiums, ladies and gentlemen, are going to go down. Now, we know that other costs are up. Energy costs are up. Your gas prices is up. I just spent $176 at the grocery store on Sunday. I got to go back to the grocery store today. I actually, you know what? No, I might just go to Panera. I don't even want to, because sometimes going out to eat is cheaper. It used to be cheaper to go to the grocery store than to make your own food. Now, sometimes it's cheaper to go to the Panera. But because of the Inflation Reduction Act, prescription drug prices can be negotiated by the federal government, bringing down all of our health care premiums from now and into the future. And then for those of you that are currently on or qualifying for Medicare, you are going to see your prescription drug prices and copays go down. For those of us that hope to be on Medicare one day in the future, if the program stays solvent, we are going to enter that program with lower prescription drug prices. And that's something you need to know about Americans. We are a very sick country. We interact with a healthcare system way more than we should. A disproportionate number of people are on all sorts of different medications and the drugs and medications. And then we got to get all the vaccines and all of the things. So the costs are coming down. So today, I believe they're going to do this in Maryland. Why Maryland? I'm not sure. Maybe that's a nod to the African-American governor in Maryland, West Moore, who we thought was going to be on the short list. Well, he was on the short list to be Kamala Harris's VP. But I don't know if America is ready for two black people. That's even a lot of black people for me, because I would start looking at other Americans suspiciously, like, you guys aren't really going to vote for two black people, which is weird because, oh, look at that. That's some suspense. Like, I would be okay with it, but I have to look at other Americans that still have deep insecurities when it comes to race. Could you see this country as racist as it still is with a black president and a black vice president? I think it'd be fantastic. America would be better for it. However, I digress. So today will be the first time, certainly since Kamala Harris announced, well, not announced, since Joe Biden decided he was not going to seek his party's nomination and then Kamala Harris became the heir apparent. Let me also reiterate this for the culture. I predicted that. Y'all was throwing all sorts of names. Oh, it's going to be this person. And no, it's going to be this person. No, no, no. I said from the beginning, if Joe Biden doesn't seek the nomination, it is only going to be one person. That's why you have a vice president. If you cannot serve in any capacity, including if you are not going to run for reelection, your vice president gets the nod. But they're going to appear together for the first time since Kamala Harris has entered the political spotlight. And so what they're going to do to further boost her poll numbers, the energy and the excitement, when the two of them appear together to tout and to trumpet Medicare now being able to negotiate prescription drug prices, that's going to showcase the policy side, because everybody is over here saying that Kamala Harris doesn't have any policies. She actually has tons of them, and a lot of them are going to be the successful policies that worked in the Biden-Harris administration, and now it's going to be the Harris-Walz administration. So, yes, she does have policies. Anyone who says that they, Madam Vice President and Governor Walz, don't have policies, haven't read anything. Trump campaign is also, they're trying to see what sticks. I feel bad for Trump, but only a little bit, because he's never been in this position before, and it's good for him. It's going to humble him a little bit. He needed some humbling. He was getting a little bit too big for a size 46 britches.
I'll allow it.
he needs to be humbled a little bit. They're saying that Kamala Harris is not doing like any sit down interviews. She's not speaking to the media. Oh, she's not very smart. She's not very intelligent. That's why she's not speaking to the media. Being a member of the media, she is actually smart for not talking to the media. Why? She doesn't need to. She doesn't need to, because all they're going to do is try and play gotcha. They're going to try and catch her up. They're going to try and throw her off. They're going to bring up some ridiculous stuff saying that she's the border czar. She is better off just running her campaign, having these big old rallies where tens of the thousands of people are coming out to see her. Oh, by the way, her and Governor Walz are going to be at the Fiserv Forum on Tuesday. And you might be thinking to yourself, how are they going to do that? The convention, the Democratic National Convention, starts on Monday and goes through Thursday of next week. How are Kamala Harris and Tim Walz going to come to the Milwaukee, to the Fiserv Forum, which seats 18,000 people? They're making a pit stop, so they're going to leave the convention. They're going to say, let's go on up and see our people in the Milwaukee. And yes, I've put my bid in to try and get the vice president either a phone interview or an in-person interview. An in-person interview might be extremely difficult because of Secret Service protocols. And so the Third Street Market Hall, if you've ever been here before, a security nightmare for a dignitary. They'd have to clear this whole place out. They got to do background checks on people that will be in the vicinity of the vice president. So logistically, it would be a nightmare. Even though I know that, I still put my bid in to speak to the vice president. Could y'all imagine, especially those of you that are watching on YouTube, and if you haven't done so already, go to YouTube.com or open up your YouTube app from your smartphone or other mobile device. Search 101.7 The Truth, hit subscribe, and then you'll be able to view our in-studio camera. For those of you that are watching on the YouTube, and I'll be checking in with the Peanut Gallery shortly, y'all. Just hold your horses. I'll be there in a minute. Could you imagine seeing Kamala Harris in the studio with me on the camera? That would be fantastic. So I'm doing my darndest. She is in extremely high demand, as you can imagine. And the other thing is she's not doing a whole bunch of media. But, you know, Kamala loves us. She loves talking to y'all Milwaukee folks. Now, her schedule has gotten dramatically more busy since she has become the Democratic nominee. But I know that she still loves y'all very much. She loves the listeners of this show. And why not? You all are very lovable. Some of you more lovable than others, but all lovable nonetheless. So we're working on getting Kamala Harris in studio. I'm hoping between now and November 5th, so I got some time to accomplish that goal. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, let's dig into this incredible reversal of fortune for the Democrats, in which Kamala Harris, after only a month, a very short period of time, is now leading Donald Trump in all the battleground states and tied in Georgia. If this holds, she will be the 47th president of the United States of America. And you are listening to a very American talk radio show, The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM in the Milwaukee. I'll be right back.
This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Our phone number, if you want to call it or text it, got questions or comments about anything, is 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. Kamala Harris is ahead or tied with Donald Trump in 6 of 7 battleground states, according to a new survey released yesterday, erasing all the leads former Republican President Donald Trump enjoyed before Joe Biden dropped out of the race last month. The Cook Political Report survey of 7 key swing states found Harris leading Trump in, make note of this, y'all, Pennsylvania, Michigan, North Carolina, Arizona, Wisconsin. Go Wisconsin. What's our motto here? Forward, right? Forward, Wisconsin. I think that's it. All right. and tied in Georgia. Nevada is the only battleground state that Trump leads, the poll finds. He'll lose Nevada, too. The poll conducted by the Democratic polling firm BSG and Republican polling firm GS Strategy Group has a margin of error that ranges by state from plus or minus 4.7 percentage points to 4.9 percentage points. Harris's leads in three states, Arizona, Michigan, and North Carolina, are within that range. She's not supposed to be winning in North Carolina. Last time a Democrat won North Carolina, Obama, I don't think he won it in 08. Nope, 16. He didn't win it. He won it in, no, Obama didn't run in 16. Obama ran in 2008 and 2012. He won North Carolina in 08, not 12. So it was crossed off of the Democrats' possibility column. But this shows something. So the South is changing, not nearly fast enough. I still think Texas needs to be its own country. If you get rid of Texas, a bunch of stuff will be better in this country, including getting rid of Elon Musk. Side note on Elon Musk. I used to like him. I don't anymore. He is a white supremacist to the highest degree. Did y'all know that about Elon Musk? I used to want a Tesla. Like, I don't think any of y'all know how close I was to ordering a Model Y Tesla with the performance package. I was so close because you can just go right on the website and you fill out the little website and then you can get your financing right there through Tesla. I was so close.
I could see you in a Tesla.
I can see me in a Tesla, too. I love electric cars.
Was you going to get the Cybertruck?
That's ugly and doesn't fit in my garage. It's too big. I've seen Cybertrucks. I've seen them with 30-inch rims on them. I've seen them with wraps, like people put those vinyl wraps on. If you, like, do that kind of stuff to them, they can look kind of fresh, but they're not. And they're too expensive if something, like, goes wrong with it. And I heard people are having, if you need service on your Tesla, good luck. And a bunch of stuff can go wrong with those. But I don't want a Tesla anymore. Because Elon Musk is a bad person and he owns Twitter. And I think I'm shadow banned on Twitter because I'd be posting some good stuff on Twitter. My tweets should go viral. So I'll tweet something brilliant because my tweets, I don't know if anybody tweets better than me. I'm over here sounding like Trump. I have the best tweets. These are the best tweets you've ever seen. I tweet better than anyone. My tweets are perfect. They're beautiful tweets. And so I'll tweet something hot. And I step away from the phone, right? I'm like, I bet when I check in an hour, it's just going to explode. Retweet, retweet, like, retweet, retweet, quote. I come back and it's like one person will like my tweet. And it's somebody I went to high school with. So Elon Musk doesn't like me, but he's a jerk. The future is electric cars, by the way. I don't know if you guys know that. So I'm an investor in the stock market. I tried my hand at options trading and not for me, especially when the best options trading should be done between 9 a.m. and noon. Well, I'm clearly working, so I can't options trade during the peak times. But I am heavily invested in electric vehicle companies. Sirius XM Radio. That's one to watch out for. And charging stations. So companies that build electric vehicle charging stations, the shares are really inexpensive. And they are poised to go up dramatically in the coming years. Now, again, this is not investment advice. This is just what Sherwin is doing.
That boy is good.
Got to make sure that I tell y'all that this is not investment advice, because if you guys do invest, and I know black people when it comes to investing.
But I would trust your word, though.
Well, you have to trust it, but like.
No, but I would trust your judgment because you actually do the research.
I do. When I get home, I'm such a nerd. So when I get home from the radio station, I have my lunch. Maybe it's Panera. Maybe it's not. And I watch financial news for like 3 hours.
Not only that, but you don't like to be wrong.
Well, hell, don't nobody like to be wrong, especially when it comes to my money.
But when people don't like to be wrong, they're normally wrong. Like, you hate to be wrong.
Thank you, Rick. I actually take that as a compliment. Well, I can't be wrong because if I am, I get... You guys will.
How often are you wrong?
Usually with when I pick women. So fairly often. Other than that, I'm pretty accurate in the information that I provide to the community. But yeah, picking women, I'm I'm not good at that. It's a skill that for some reason I cannot learn.
I'll allow it.
So I invest in electric vehicle companies. And so if you guys do the same, but here's the thing, you all have your own investment strategy, and you have to have a strategy. You have to have an end game, and your end game can't be, oh, I just want to make a lot of money. Well, hell, what's a lot of money? Because once you see your portfolio going up, do you cash out? Do you sell your stock and take the profit? And then what? Because now you're going to get taxed on it. Or do you roll it over into a much more stable investment? And what I got to say to African-Americans, so when we invest our money, we tend to invest in instruments that don't gain as much, but do a better job of protecting us from swings. If you invest in stocks of any kind, even those that you believe are going to go up, your portfolio might sink 30% in a year or 50% in a month. And we freak out when that happens. And we think the stock market, when our shares are down, we liquidate, we sell our shares at a loss because we're panicking, because we're like, oh no, I've lost this much value in my portfolio. Let me get out now. No, when shares are low, especially if you have a longer timeline, invest more money. Get those shares for cheap. I haven't done a financial segment in a while. Maybe we need to get back to that. Because with inflation going down, interest rates are going to get cut. People are going to start buying houses again. They're going to take out home equity lines of credit. They're going to be fixing their properties up. Stocks like Lowe's and Home Depot are the ones to watch, because when interest rates go lower and people can afford to get into that house because the 30-year fixed mortgage rates are below 4%, then people got to go to the Home Depot and to the Lowe's, and they got to buy the refrigerator. They got to buy the washers and the dryers, and they got to buy all the things at the Lowe's and the Home Depot. So those are always good economic indicators of how the nation is doing when it comes to housing. So once those interest rates start going down, people are going to start buying home improvement things, and they're going to start purchasing more houses. So that concludes the financial portion of today's program. I'll take a break, come back, talk about how Madam Vice President has done a wonderful job of energizing people in ways that Joe Biden simply couldn't. She is giving people a reason to vote for her instead of just voting against the Donald. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
I don't know how this whole business started. Of you thinking that.
Welcome back. Rob, I don't even know why I'm going to even entertain your paranoid text messages. Why do I do this? I got to learn to ignore stuff, and I'm very good at ignoring things, because some of the stuff that y'all text in at 833-212-1017 is certified. Like, just, it would qualify y'all for, like, Social Security disability, some of the stuff that y'all text in, and I just don't read it.
Damn.
Because then people think, oh, if I say something that's insane and it gets read on the air, now my insanity must be true because now all of the people have heard it. Rob says, Sherwin, do you even know why Elon Musk changed his stance and is supporting Trump now? So, number one, don't care. Number two, he's a white supremacist. So whatever goes into his mode of thinking, I'm glad I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. I know this much. He essentially disavowed one of his children, and she read him the riot act, and she posted all on Twitter and on the social media. Like, he dude disavowed one of his kids. Now, the kid is transgender, but you're not supposed to disavow your transgender kids. Aren't you supposed to love your kids no matter what the gender? So he don't like one of his kids. But he's also steadily over here telling people, like, oh, Americans need to have more babies. That's replacement theory stuff, because he's not telling black people and brown people to have more babies. He's one of those that thinks, and he said it, that white people are going to get replaced. Well, what? It's fine. I mean, white people are not ever like totally going to go away, but they are the global minority, and I can understand their insecurity, but everybody just mix it up a little bit. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody was just the same beautiful color of like light chocolate milk? Because then you couldn't be racist anymore if everybody was just basically different shades of us. That's how we win. But the whites, God bless them, have put themselves in what I've referred to on many occasions as a demographic cul-de-sac. So if a white person has a baby with an Indian person, that's an Indian baby. A white person has a baby with a Chinese person, that's Chinese baby. If a white person has a baby with a black person, that's an athlete. You see how that works a lot of times? No, I'm saying that's how that works. So white people can only procreate with other white people to maintain their whiteness. But that gets boring, right? Don't you guys want to? Like, look at Kamala Harris's husband. Well, they're not having kids. But if they would have had a baby, that would have been another kind of black African-American baby, 25%, give or take, whatever percentages you want to ascribe to whatever Kamala Harris's and Doug Emhoff's baby would be. Look at Ketanji Brown Jackson. She's got a Caucasian husband. I don't know if they have any children, but do you see how that goes? White people, it's totally fine. You guys are going to be fine. Don't worry about it. I got some information here. Harris energizes Democrats in a transformed presidential race. Buoyed by growing Democratic enthusiasm, Vice President Kamala Harris is now in a virtual tie with former President Donald Trump in the presidential race. Among registered voters nationally, 46% say if the election were held today, they would support Harris, while 45% favor Trump and 7% back Robert F. Kennedy Jr. That I can't understand. He is nuts. He really is. And I don't like to throw that term around, nuts, but he's, y'all hear about the latest thing where he found a dead bear, put it in his vehicle, drove the dead bear, him and some friends. I don't know if they were sober or not, but this is not something you would do if you were sober and clear thinking. They got a dead bear and they put it in Central Park in New York, and then they found a bicycle and they put the dead bear by the bicycle because they wanted to make it look like the bear died in a bicycle accident. And this man is running for president. And it's frightening that he has any support whatsoever, because that tells me that there are people that want to put him in the White House. Other than him being an anti-vaxxer and then also saying that he had a worm in his brain, he said this stuff publicly, but the worm died. But there's a worm that's somewhere in his brain. Like, why would you want him to be president of the United States? Especially black people. Like, where are his policies on affirmative action and racism and police brutality and the incarceration of African-American men and health disparities, right? I just don't understand some of y'all. Among registered voters, 46% say if the election were held today, they would support Harris, 45% Trump, 7% Robert F. Kennedy. Trump held a 4 percentage point lead over Joe Biden, 44 versus 40, who withdrew from the race on July 21st. So it hasn't even been a month yet. It's only been 3 weeks since President Biden withdrew. Most of Harris's gains have come at the expense of Kennedy, whose support has declined by roughly half in the past month, from 15% to 7%. Yet there are clear signs that Harris has energized Democratic voters, according to a new Pew Research Center survey conducted August 5th through 11th among 9,201 U.S. adults, including 7,569 registered voters. Harris's strong support is on par with Trump's. Among Harris's supporters, 62% say they support her strongly, while 64% of Trump supporters back him strongly. Last month, just 43% of Biden supporters backed him strongly, compared to 63% of Trump supporters who supported the former president strongly. Joe Biden had to get out of the race. He absolutely had to. And I think that's why during the convention, the Republican National Convention that was here in our city last month, there was so much enthusiasm. Those Trump supporters were so happy. They weren't even racist. They were nice to all of us. We all got treated nice. Did y'all hear when Eric Trump, who's the dumbest, that's the dumb Trump. you don't really see a lot of Eric. You see Don Jr. Because Eric is the dummy. I mean, he got to have somebody tie his shoes for him. He is that dumb. But he sat down with DT and Telly. And DT, she just fawned over him. Y'all heard it? Dumb, dumb. DT came back the next day talking about his eyes are so blue. But they were so optimistic that as long as Joe Biden stayed in the race, that they were going to have a crushing landslide victory. I don't know if it would have been a crushing landslide, but I do believe that as time went on and we got closer to November, Joe Biden would have been even less palatable to like independents and people that are moderate, people that don't really have a political affiliation. And I know that he would have lost. So all of this data that we are getting right now, internal polling probably showed the Biden-Harris, you know, administration that Joe just, he couldn't win. He could not. That debate performance, because people were already skeptical because of his age. And he does, there's no way he has the energy and has the stamina. I mean, why would he? He's 80, how old is Joe Biden? 81, 82? I think they made the right move. Now, obviously, the Trump campaign is not happy with it because they went from winning to losing in a very short period of time. And so this is where Democrats really get into their element as we move closer toward the election, because the get out the vote strategies and apparatus that Democrats have always bested the Republicans. There is also something that does not get mentioned. Every now and again, you may hear a little sprinkle about this particular thing I'm going to say, but it's not mentioned enough. There are a lot of conservative Republican women, white women in particular, that are not going to vote for Donald Trump. I think the reproductive rights and reproductive health care was the last straw for a lot of them. And I say that because, and I can qualify that statement by saying in all of the states, including deep red states like Kansas, where reproductive health care was on the ballot in the form of a referendum, it has passed everywhere. And you got to look at a state like Kansas. I think Ohio did it too. Ohio is very much a deep red state. When you put reproductive health care on the ballot and you ask women, do you want the right to be able to terminate a pregnancy for a variety of reasons? It is your choice, et cetera, women vote yes. And they outvote men on that particular subject matter. So you got to think about this now. It's only going to take 3 or 4% of Republican conservative white women to say, I'm going to vote for the woman that's going to protect not just my reproductive health care, but that of my daughter, my grandchildren, and all of the women in my family. And that's it. Trump can't get from underneath that issue. He's got this commercial now. It's a Harris commercial where Trump is proud to have overturned Roe versus Wade. That's, you can't say that, dude. And now look at you now. Take a break. Come back. Our phone number, if you got questions or comments, if you're not voting, I'd like to hear from a non-voter. I wonder if a non-voter would have the courage to call or to text. And if you're a non-voter, why are you a non-voter? And when I think about it, a non-voter wouldn't listen to this show because it wouldn't make any sense to them because they're a non-voter. In fact, non-voters are probably at Panera waiting for it to open. That's what they're doing. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Hall & Oates. Where you find this song at? Is it in my folder?
No, it isn't. That's why I added it. You know, I know you.
You play some hype music.
Hype music today?
No, actually, no, because you'll take that to a whole new level. You'll play. You'll have me in here juking in this motherfucker. Let's see what we got going. Well, you might as well let the damn chorus play. Play the whole damn song.
I know you like it. Yeah. Jam with me.
All right, that's enough. The 80s had great music.
They did.
I don't know about I sound old, but I don't care.
Y'all had great music and great parties.
There was less to worry about.
That too.
I don't even know how I would describe the late 20th century to someone who was born in the 21st century. Everything was different. Like, a bunch of stuff changed with the internet. In the beginning, the internet was like a novelty. It's like, oh, wow, this is neat. I can go in a chat room and talk to somebody from Yugoslavia, or I can read the news or order a book off of Amazon. Amazon started as a book reseller, but it was just something you did in your spare time. It wasn't where you lived your life. It wasn't where you preferred to be. You still preferred to be in the real world. It was just like an additional means of communication. It wasn't particularly fast. All the connections were dial-up. It was just, you know, oh, let me check the internet. Let me go sign on to AOL. You got mail. Oh, look, somebody sent me some stuff. Email used to be fun, and then the spam took over, and now email is pretty much worthless. But it was just, I don't know, it was different. I mean, there was still crime and problems, but it wasn't made worse by somebody's political affiliation. We didn't really talk about politics because you didn't care. The only time we really talked about politics is if there was an election, if there were major pressing issues, but it still wasn't our identities. Now, if I criticize, like, legitimate criticisms of Republican policies and the history of failure, and I got, like, it's well documented that Republican policies cause deficit spending. They require the next administration after Republican presidential administration to have to raise taxes. We know that Democrats create jobs and Republican administrations' jobs get cut. Trickle-down economics doesn't work. Cutting rich people's taxes does not fuel the American economy whatsoever. Like, we know all of these things. Like, there's evidence for 100-plus years of failed Republican policies. Not to mention, Republicans can't win the popular vote in this country. They haven't won the popular vote in 20 years. What does that say? It means their policies suck. And so by me being critical of not even the people and the personalities, because Republicans don't really have a lot of charismatic, not positively charismatic figures in their party. If I criticize a Republican policy legitimately on the facts and on the merits and say, hey, look, this is what they've done in the past when it comes to this policy and look how it's failed us, Republican voters and Trump supporters, they take it personal. Because it's not even about who they vote for. It's like they are Republicans. Like, their identity is their political party. Same thing happens on the left. Black people have an advantage in that regard because our identity is more our race than our party affiliation. So we have an identity. There are some Republican voters and Trump supporters because that's why they wear the hats. And they fly the flags because they have become as a human being and how they live their lives and where they go and what they do and what they buy. Remember when Bud Light, which I don't know why anybody drinks Bud Light anyway. Bud Light is a mistake. I don't know why anybody drinks it. But I guess Bud Light had a transgender spokesperson. And then all the conservative people, they bought cases of Bud Light and they filmed themselves and put it on the internet shooting Bud Light with their guns. We hate Bud Light. You just bought three cases of it. Bud Light still made the money. But like, they live their lives like they vote. And you're not supposed to do that. You got to have your own identity. Politics is like how you play chess because you may have a particular vision for the future. It should not be who you are. And I think that's kind of muddied the waters a little bit. And plus, we have continuous news cycles. News is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. News was something that you turned on at 6 o'clock and turned off at 6:30. So have your own identity aside from politics so we can legitimately criticize the argument without having to criticize the person. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour 2.